happened?
I don't know what happened.
I knew what was gonna. I knew that when it started that click 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 thing, you know, whatever, which could have been accidentally hitting something, or whether it was the weather or whatever. But then it was dead for a while, you know, waiting. And I knew. I just sat there and I thought, I'm not gonna hang up. I'm not gonna come back on because it's gonna in a minute. It's gonna go boom.
Anyway, so Susan was in town this weekend, and she came over last night. I hadn't planned anything last night. I was just going to study and make some cookies and stuff. So she called yesterday morning and said she's in town. She came over last night, and Sherry was here. So we all, Sherry had a movie that she had rented, and Sherry Emanuel had rented a movie and brought his VCR over. So we watched part of the movie and made cookies, and then we all four played Life together, and just Susan ended up spending the night here.
I didn't know anybody played Life anymore.
Remember that night when I came home from Daytona and then Jeff brought you over, he picked you up from the airport, and they were playing that? They had just bought it that day.
Well, now, wait a minute. Oh, okay. Well, that's the same Life. I mean, you know
It's the same Life. That's the same Life. It's just like Monopoly. It's one of those games.
It's a turnaround. That's not it's popular again, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if it's popular. They just like it.
Yeah. It's just amazing that they discovered these games that have been around forever and ever, and they find them and they discovered them. That surprises them somehow.
I'm sure they grew up with it. Yeah. They just went and bought one for themselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because how would you know to go and pick it out or anything?
Because you grew up with it. I would, too. I'd go get a Monopoly or something. Anyway, so what's going on there?
Oh, let me see. When I took Irma out for the afternoon. I thought I was going to do that, didn't I? So when I took
I think I talked to you after you took her, as a matter of fact.
Oh, I just did it Thursday. I just did it.
Wednesday. I talked to you Wednesday night.
And I found out she could go home after all here.
Oh, no, but you did take her Thursday.
I was going to take her Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah. So I took her, and we saw this old house that had been in, it had been in Highland Park. It was going to be permanent, so we're going to hear about it eventually one way or the other, probably someday. It had been in Highland Park, and it was like one of the first three original houses in Highland Park when it was still just farmland and all And it was moved, and it was the one you may or may not have noticed if you were ever home visiting or whatever, that they'd have the newspaper on the television every so often saying that they were moving it very slowly but surely from Highland Park to a place to keep it, preserve it, and get it all fixed up, and all that. And so they moved it to a vacant lot across the street from Old City Park. And then they did all kinds of renovations on it and everything to get it back to exactly the way it should have been when it was, you know, as best they could, it's the way it was originally. Well, the reason I say you might have seen on television or in the newspaper or something pictures of it, because it was the big house that it took them like, I don't know, like a year or so, I guess, to get that thing on moving some of the space without Then it got to a point that it couldn't move any farther, and it just sort of lived for like several weeks, maybe even months, on the side of the highway.
You're kidding.
On its wheels until they could get it down, because it was so big and all. They would have to close down sections of the highway to move it a few feet or a few yards or whatever down. So it really was a big thing to finally
move. Went and bought it.
And so we went, but then they had this advertisement in the papers that it would be open later all the time, just like Old City Park is on certain hours, certain days. But that right now, they had different interior decorators come. But unlike how they'll come to the homes on Smith Avenue, they'll have several homes each year, they'll have a spotlight and say, come look and see how they fixed it up and all. Those times when they do it on Swiss Avenue, the decorators are just free to do it however they want. And they'll put some moves real modern and all that, you know. Well, this, they didn't do that. This, they had to stay, which they had hired them to, they didn't volunteer, but they had to do it, period. They had to do it in the period that would have been, they had to do a lot of research and do it in the period according to when that house was in existence and built. So it was really exciting because for people who like antiques, because it was all done that way. And nobody could do a real Danish modern, a real modern glass and chrome and all in there. It had to be done good. Well, she and I both are antiques, so that was why she said she'd like to go with me. But I also knew that Jody and Dick had so much on them, because one thing I had forgotten that they needed her at this extra pressure on them was I forgot that Jody and Dick are having to tell you, I'm not going to tell you that they're having to have We decorated tables from bottom up.
Oh, that's right.
I had forgotten that they have now started the painting.
Oh.
Vanity over there again.
Oh, I bet.
And he may have the mother-in-law come.
And then pick leaves.
The father-in-law one, over there and all that, you know.
And then pick leaves one weekend every 3 or 4
yeah.
weeks to go
out
faster stuff.
God. I mean, they have forgotten all of that. I did not realize it was going to be mm-hmm. So I just simply, when I got there, I had written out a note along like a small secretary pad, not the legal pad, but small secretary size,
mm-hmm.
you know, pad, file notebook things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of those sheets I had written out on there and said, and I hadn't even agreed to anybody ahead of time to do this. It just dawned on me when I realized what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because I called to tell her what time I'd be getting her, and they said that the painter's just for me to come to the back door or come to the garage, and then she'd be just standing waiting for me.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, oh my gosh, I forgot about the painters. So I thought, well, I got to keep her more than a couple of hours out of her hair. So I wrote her a little note, and just hoping that she would argue with me about it, and told her to give it to Jerry and Pitt. I said, you might want to read it first, but this is what I had in mind, and I hope that you're going to feel like trying to stay gone and do these things. So, I mean, I just scooped her up.
That's great.
And she got in the car, and I said, okay, now, we don't have to do everything I put on that note, but if you and I both can hold up, let's try to do it to keep you out of that mess from all that painting off. And she said, oh, that's so thoughtful of you. I'm looking at my brother-in-law and tell this to me.
You're kidding. Why is he on TV?
Because they're showing him as a doctor that's treating one of these patients, a cancer patient, and they're showing her, they've been showing for a long time her progress.
Videotape it.
Oh, I can't. It's going to be over in half a second.
Oh.
They're just re-showing it. I didn't know that they were going to do that.
Yeah,
I should have. Because, I mean, this time they showed him really up front in 2 different segments.
How fun.
And they've never shown him. I've only seen the back of his head
he's
before.
Famous.
But this time they're showing more of the tape.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the end of the week, they'll show highlights on a particular show. It's not a news show so much as just highlights of things.
Uh-huh.
And that they're showing the highlights of her cancer thing
mm-hmm.
and her and how she's doing now compared to when they thought she was in a bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, you know, to give people hope, you know, and all. And so they've been following up on this patient
mm-hmm.
all this time. And I know that she is still alive and she's still doing all right. And they show her the beginning pictures of when she was going in, when they gave her her clean bill of health time, and Pitt was in there and
mm-hmm.
they were looking at her x-rays and stuff and all.
Mm-hmm.
Before they had not shown as much of it when they did it, but this is one of those end of the week ones where they take little highlights along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a news, it's more like a, what do you want to call it? You know what I mean? A week
yeah.
conceptual kind of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Spotlighting.
I know what you mean.
Things. Not
mm-hmm.
so much Gaddafi and all, but people type things
yeah.
going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, that was what I was looking at. I had it on because I've been having heart.
Did anything else happen with Gaddafi yesterday?
Huh?
Yes. Did anything else happen with Gaddafi yesterday?
That's
should know about.
Let's see. See, there's something I was going to tell you and finish up with. And then we'll get on that because we've got to talk about the trip anyway. Okay? Can
okay.
I get back to that?
Because uh-huh.
I can't remember. And once I get my mind on that, I'll be.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But the reason I had the television on was because I've been listening. I've been not listening. I have the volume turned down. I've had it on all afternoon because we're set up. We're clearing up all right now. But we've had horrendous weather here. I mean,
yeah.
the house was almost like bending. It was awful.
Yeah.
It's been horrible. And they had all kinds of tornado watches and stuff.
You mean like thunderstorming?
Thunderstorming, but so severe that it was like horrible, horrible, horrible.
Oh, it hasn't been doing that at all here. Wednesday night, it did a little bit late. But
well, I think they'll pass through. So I don't know whether it started
mm-hmm.
past you, say. But for a while, I was trying to call John and Bob, and they didn't answer the phone because I was going to ask them what county they live in, because it said Ellis County was under the tornado watch, which means it's been spotted.
Mm-hmm.
So take cover. And I couldn't get them to answer, so I thought, oh, my Lord, they're out doing errands in this weather. But they must have, before the heavens opened, it must have been that they'd gotten to a shopping center or something. I mean,
uh-huh.
Or they're at someone's home or something visiting, you know. They never know what they're doing. But anyway, though, and I wanted to ask you, because I was going to ask them, so I'll ask you now, so I know what to worry about in the future. What county are you in, Hunt or Johnson?
Travis.
Travis, huh? You won't need one of them.
Uh-uh.
Travis. Okay, so you're
Travis County.
I thought because of the Johnson Ranch and all that stuff,
no.
maybe it was Johnson County.
No.
So Cindy is, for the time being, at least in Travis County. Okay. All right. Okay, now, anyway, so I'll finish what I started about that and make that as soon as possible, that I took her and I just had written on the note that after we saw that we were going to go to get a bite of dinner and then maybe take in a movie or go out to Old Pedrita.
Uh-huh.
The note I left for Jody, and that we would be home around 9 o'clock when all the shopping centers closed.
Uh-huh.
And because I wanted Jody and Hicks, you know, because I had purposely had it on Thursday. Not only because it was convenient for me, but with the idea of the 2 days that might be convenient for me to pick that one because I thought that's his day off.
Uh-huh.
And maybe they could just get a breather by themselves, you know,
uh-huh.
Get the mother-in-law out of the house. So sure enough, when I picked her up, I had never seen Irma like that. Irma was just, she was a nervous child.
Really?
And,
at least she did talk, though.
Yeah. But I told her, I'd made my mind up when I picked her up, that I was going to do the courtesy of telling her. And I found out from her that she doesn't want to talk about anything personal. She will not talk about anything. She doesn't believe that. So, you know, she'd just go to her grave, and then that's somebody else would have to tell them later that, you know, she was having personal problems. You know? So I just told her, not knowing how it was going to be with her. And when she got in the car, I said, now, as far as that note, I said, she said, don't go in there. It's just crazy in there. I said, no, I wasn't going to get out of the car. I just wanted you to take the note. She said, oh, well, okay. She said, well, the whole time. And I took her back home at 7:30 when she got in the car. And I was about to pass out for a week. But I wanted to keep her away from the thing.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, read the note before you take it to them, but don't let it scare you. It's just a possibility that I wanted to know if not to worry about you if we stay out that long. She said, okay, whatever you, I'm just yours. I'm yours forever. You decide, whatever. Just, yeah. And what I do all the time, but she does it. And that really threw me. I thought, boy, I know now how I am around people. I'm crazy. But, she, and if I heard her say once, I heard her say 4 million times from 1 o'clock in the afternoon till 7:30 that night. We understand each other. But bless her heart, it was just how she was handling it. So we did that.
Yeah.
And when she got in the car, I said, and I said, how do you feel about these things? And she said, whatever. We'll just see how we hold up. And I said, that's fine. Okay, we understand each other. And so then the next thing I had in my mind, I was going to tell her as we were driving out of the driveway, was in the back. I said, now, before we get started, I want to tell you one thing. Jody has not told me any details, but I do know that you're having some problems, maybe, and that, you know, I have a little idea, sort of a general idea, why you're here, and I don't know how long you're going to stay here, but I want you to know that Jody has just told me, just told me that you're here and there's some problems. And if you want to open up and talk to them because you can't with them or something, or you want to cry, or you want to holler and scream, or get mad, you can. And if you don't want to, you don't have to at all. I'm not going to quiz you. I just want you to know that I'm available for you if you want to talk or cry or holler.
Uh-huh.
I said, okay, now we understand each other. Okay, now, well, we're not going to talk about it. And I said, okay.
That's
your choice. So we went and did things.
Uh-huh.
And, and I'm still having an enormous trouble with weakness. But when I was talking to Kathy just now, I found out this is not that different. This is not that unusual. But she said it also for her that apparently it's more severe for people like us, maybe who have had severe cancer problems and have had hormonal-related type of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Hers is breast, which affects her hormones, and mine was ovarian. You know, they're talking about the original cancer.
Uh-huh.
And she said that the same thing happened because I was told her, I said, I've been having a terrible time trying to get this to understand what's going on with me, and it is not getting any better. It's just like, so I'm going to kind of reevaluate what kind of trip we take and where to go.
Uh-huh.
And I do know now we have to go somewhere where it's cool. Because I knew that beforehand anyway, what I told you, you know.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, from talking to Patsy, I realized that it's a common thing with some of us. That it had extreme serious problems and then the hormonal. And I told her that they told me that my machine also made me have trouble with heat and all that, made me weak. But I found myself trying to explain to the reason this came up with Patsy and I, because I was asking her, and she said, oh, yeah, she had the same problem. And that is, I had never really realized it until I had to verbalize it to someone recently. And I guess it came about when I was with. I mean, I've said to people, but I never realized how consistent it is. And that is that more in when the weather is not cold than any other time. Although today is cold, but it's also humid. And I'm still feeling this way. So I don't know if it's just all the time. And I had an unusual time during the winter where I felt really great. And that's only because Patsy did say that she feels her best. If she's ever going to feel close to normal, it's going to be in the wintertime. when it's cold. And everybody else is dying, you know, because of the cold. And that's when she finally has the briskness of the atmosphere and all.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of gives her a boost.
Mm-hmm.
She can hang in better under circumstances that she couldn't ordinarily.
Mm-hmm.
Same circumstances. And I said, well, that's starting to put pieces together in my mind, too. Because when I was with Irma, I found myself, feeling, we started going through that house. And Irma would say, don't really get to that, because that's an answer. And I said, I'm not going to. Then I realized that maybe I was starting to lean against it subconsciously. Because then by the time we walked through that house, I thought, God, please don't be faint, whatever you want me to do.
Oh.
I thought, I'm not going to be able to do this. And you know what it was, Cindy? I couldn't hold on to anything, and I couldn't lean over to
anything.
And I am beginning to realize, Cindy, I am lost if you stick me out in the middle of a floor or the middle of a room or a yard, and I don't have anything. In other words, I'm okay if I can see in front of me something I'm heading toward, and I think, if I didn't know that was there, I would fall down now. But when I know it's there, then I can make it to it and lay down or lean on it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're sick, I'm sure you have times like that you'll think, just get me back to the bed and somehow let me get back to the bed so I can lay down and, or let me get to the toilet so I won't vomit here on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you pull on extra strength?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, this is what I do all the time, and I have not been aware of it. And I'm beginning to learn more and more about me. As Becky and I were talking about, she says, Sue, we continue to learn about our shortcomings, about our problems with this disease. Because she said, you know, we're not like people who had a little spot of cancer that was removed and nothing else happened. And I said, boy, am I learning that one. And I said, I've tried to explain to people, but then I didn't exactly know what to explain. Well, I had a real good talk, Cindy, last night with Gwen Lee. Gwen Mitchell, well, I mean Gwen Mitchell, actually. Because I had not seen her mom and dad around for since Wednesday, and I had seen lights on over there that didn't make any sense to me. And so I called over there so many times I couldn't get an answer that I finally called her, and I said, Gwen, now I don't want to be an alarmist, because maybe your folks have just gone out of town or something, but I'm not getting any response over there. There are lights that don't make sense. They never leave these lights on when they leave town ordinarily, the same lights they got on now. And it was the bedroom lights and stuff. And she said, well, they are out of town, but it was one of those things where Dad came home and said, I decided I want to go see my dad in Paducah.
Oh.
And Mom said, I want to go too. And she said, they literally just left.
Oh.
And all she did was call and say, we're going to do this. And apparently call the neighbor or had her call the neighbor next door and say, you know, get our mail, you know, whenever they're going to be back, or they don't know when they're going to be back.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, thanks for telling me. And she said, well, I'm surprised Mom didn't tell you. And I said, well, she may have been planning to tell me when she called the last couple of times she's called, because she called right about that time, must have known they were leaving. But she asked how I was doing, and I said I was awfully weak. She said she just wished there was something she could do, and she just hated me being so weak. And so I said, maybe then she realized that she wasn't going to tell me because she didn't want to, you know, she just wanted to talk about me, and then she just got to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, so we got to talking about her mom and the way she raised them and the way she is. And she said, and I told her, I said, well, now, I've told Margie a little bit that I'm uncomfortable about some of the things that she's been saying lately, but I told Cindy that I was a little concerned, too, because I said, Gwen, we're starting to get some plans, possible plans, to go to Colorado where we can all meet each other, and then you'll go up there, you know, and get together like we've kind of been dreaming about for so long and talking and fantasizing about, and it may get to happen. I told her when and all. And I said, but I've got to tell you, I'm uncomfortable about this because I don't know how it's going to, how y'all are going to respond to this, because I said, I've noticed that you also had, so anyways, I talked to her about it, okay?
Uh-huh.
So in talking to her, she said, I'm so glad we talked about this, Sue, because she said, I honestly did think that when you got home from the hospital from the cancer that you were well. And she said, I really never understood that you really were all that bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, especially when she said that you got the prognosis that you did recently, she said, we just figured, well, that's what we always figured anyway. We never thought you were going to die, and we never thought you were in that serious case anyway. We finally told you that. So I really never understood because Mom never told me anything. And she said, do you know, Sue, that when I was growing up, that I broke my arm once and Mom refused to acknowledge that it was broken? She said, we went on and on and on for hours and hours and on up to the night before she finally agreed to take me to the emergency room. She said, it was broken, and she kept saying, she was disgusted with me because she said it was not broken. And she thought, she was acting like I was just making a big thing out of nothing. And she said, we got there, and they said, of course it was broken. You know, and she said, Mom would not acknowledge it was broken. And she said, that's the way we were raised.
That's just the way she is.
I don't know why Mom's that way, whether she just never had anything wrong with her, what she said, Sue, she's got arthritis, and she will not admit it to anybody, and she will not acknowledge it. She will not deal with it. And she said, you know how she is about dad? And I said, well, I have heard her be awfully sarcastic and snide about your dad for years whenever you have anything wrong with it. She said, she treats him like he's a hypochondriac. And she said, I've told Mom, I don't know whether Dad really is a hypochondriac or it's just that he makes big of it because he's desperately trying to get you to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
You know. So we had a real good.
Oh, good.
And I was so glad. But when I talked with her, she said, well, you described things to me, because she had also... I called her, but she was so glad, she said, I called, because she had warned it would be that I'm so outspoken and open that would I mind if... She said, I want to ask you something, and you just tell me if you don't feel like you want to talk about it. And she said she'd had a friend that morning who had had breast surgery for cancer, and they'd had to remove her breast. And she wondered what she should act like, how she should talk to her, what she should do, what she needs.
Oh, that's great that she could ask you.
And she said, oh, glad we talked.
Oh, that's great.
You know, and I told her, I said, it's just like, and so I brought up about male and females and stuff. And
yeah.
I said, it's really, the more I talk to people, the more I'm beginning to realize. And I told her to say, I'll tell you, to me, the more I begin to realize that it all fits together. In other words, like I told her, I said, it's a form of loss, of it's a type of loss that we lose something one way or the other. We've lost a part of our body, our functioning. We've lost someone we love. We've lost the ability to do certain things for one reason or another. I said, I would have suspected it even would come under the same heading of dealing with loss. That's not the only word I used. So loss will have to do, I'll think of the other word, that fits, that pulls them all together. It's a form of, what is it you do when you grieve? It's a form of grieving. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I said, think of it in terms of a form of grieving that your friend either might be going to now or later down the line, and keep yourself open to it all along. So we don't need to waste time on what I told her, but I talked for a long time about it. And we talked about this with Patsy just now, too. And so we were talking about how in explaining things to people, then we discover along the way things that we thought they understood that we never really had verbalized either.
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't verbalize, so therefore we never quite understood about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Patsy, I said, until I made the remark last night to Gwen about the fact that I was crushed the first time her mom acted so put out with me because we were going somewhere and I was left to have to walk by myself, and there were no walls of buildings, and nothing I could lean up against, and no one to hold on to. And I panicked, because I started going, I could feel myself, I was going to go down, and someone didn't reach out for me fast. And I said that I really didn't realize that I arrange in my life to always have some destination within sight, you know, that I'm going to get to so that I can sit down and lean against it or something.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was explaining to her, and I said, truthfully, if you leave me out in the middle of an area and there's not something within a walking distance close enough for me within seconds to get to lean up against the coach or whatever, you know. And when I heard myself tell her that, the way I said to her, I had never heard myself explain the way I did this before. Now, you know these things about me, so what probably didn't need to be explained, or maybe I just said it without it meaning anything to me because I knew you understood.
Mm-hmm.
But it was trying to explain to someone who had no idea. She said, well, now, for instance, what's wrong with you now that you're not well from, you know? And she was really, you know, she was trying to understand. And when I explained that to her and heard myself, I thought, now that would be an easy way to explain to someone, because most people can identify with if you say, because otherwise I'd usually say, I'm just so weak, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say, I'm too weak to dress myself, or I'm too weak to drive the car, or if I have to, I'm too weak to do this and that. And some things I would say I was too weak to do, and some things I could do, didn't make sense to me. I'd say, well, how can you do this if you can't do that?
Mm-hmm.
So now I began to realize that if I just tell them that it's too weak to stand, and that's my biggest problem, is standing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I've discovered, too, that if I explain to them, it's like, and I didn't realize it came that often to me, because it's all the time now, Cindy. But I'm not scared now, because now I understand. First of all, I wasn't scared anyway, because they had run all the tests. Well, not cancer test stuff, you know, but the other tests I told you about, you know, the blood pressure and the blood counts and all that. And I was in perfect health according to them, according to that stuff. And here I have this weak stuff. But now, now I'm beginning to understand the pieces are starting to come together better, especially after I talked to Patsy. Because she said, well, didn't your doctor ever, I know you've told me, Sue, that your doctors have told you the same thing that they've told me, that, you know, you're a walking miracle. Anyway, you haven't got any business, you know, you're alive, and that right there is a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, you're going to have to accept that you're never going to really see a woman again.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, they did tell me that. But then for a while this winter, for the first time since the entire cancer ordeal, I felt perfectly normal, or as close to it that I could remember feeling any better.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, but Patsy, no, I'm not in hell. And she said, but hon, it's just because we were in that cold weather. She said, if I ever feel good, that's it. And I said, really? You know? And then I said, but it gets worse when I've been off to get on the machine and then I come off of it. And now I'm beginning to realize that it does mess my hormones and stuff up. Or not just my hormones, but my body chemistry, that's the word.
Uh-huh.
So I guess I am going to have to acknowledge that from now on, I guess I'm going to always be weak, except for rare times. And when people see me that I'm not weak and they think I'm not weak, it's because I am in a room of people, of furniture, and I always have apps that no one knows. I know so many things I've told you before, but it's funny how you'll tell somebody things over, and then finally when you say it one time, it finally hits you.
Uh-huh.
You finally hear it yourself.
Uh-huh.
Because I've explained, and I know you know these things about me probably that I didn't even know. It didn't register.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, what's going on, I'm as weak as I can be. But I function, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I function when I have to function. And I know that you have told me we don't have to take our trip, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's a part of me that wants to take a trip somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I've never done before that I can do. And do you need to hang up now, or should I tell you a couple of things I have discovered without getting into too much detail? I won't get into detail because I don't have bottom lines until I talk to the medical people to see if they're going to let me do these things.
I kind of wanted to call Diana back before she left. She's leaving at 6:15.
Okay.
So maybe, should I call you back? Or later?
Like, yeah.
What are you doing tonight?
Nothing. I'm going to sit here and go through the rest of these books. Because what brought all this up about Irma was that when we were out, she said, well, if you want to do things for me, she said, I need to go back and get a cert to an outfit that I should bought. And she said, I want it where it's all coordinated. She'd gotten one of those polyester outfits that old ladies wear, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was beautiful. It was pink. And she just looked beautiful with the gray hair with it.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd gotten it at JCPenney's, and it was the blouse and jacket and pants. And then there was a skirt that came with it, too.
Testing.